Celebrating the holidays with the Taking a Walk podcast and celebrating our radio friends. It's a beautiful day in Central Park to take a walk with a friend, a radio broadcast legend, Mark Chernoff.
Give me your best Scott Muni story that typifies what a grand persona Mr. Muni was, Fats was.
Well, it was really just truly amazing learning all the stuff I learned from him, getting to spend the time with him. He was a real character, and he would tell stories that I really can't tell about some of the record guys he hung out with and about the people he knew. And just, you know, he and John Lennon had their last child. Tiffany was Scott's last kid. And obviously, John and Yoko had Sean, and they were at the same hospital at the same time. And the two of them, Scott would tell stories about, oh yeah, the two of you should see them smoking in the hallway, waiting for the birth of our kids, because in those days they didn't let the men in.
Right.
So the kids were born, I think, on the same day or within a few hours. I don't know the timing of the day, but after John was assassinated, the way Scott remembered him was every day when he signed on, and those days he was doing 2 to 5, he was always started the show with a couple of either Beatles tracks or John solo tracks. And you know, I give Q104, the rock station in New York, a lot of credit. Maria Melito does the midday show, and Scott went for the last year that he was working, because NEW had changed by then. He was over at Q104, and they still to this day remember Scott and play a couple of Beatles tracks. They do and at noon every day.
I love that.
Ken Dasho.
Buzz, it's great to see you again. Brings back so many great memories of working with you. My first job, my friends were delivering pizza in Brooklyn, getting $3 an hour. And at 19, I got my first radio job doing weekends at XL Country in Newton, New Jersey, which was 76 miles away. So in my 69 Cutlass, whose speedometer had broken at 250,000 miles and burned about 50-50 gas and oil, I got $1.76 an hour for a 5-hour show. So I don't know about these youngsters today, Buzz, but if you total in gas, tolls, and if I bought a sandwich, I was pretty much losing $5 a show. But I'm 19 and I'm in. I'm on the air. I'm being paid to be a disc jockey. I don't know anything about country music, but I'm Cousin Ken in XL Country, and I'm in.
Please welcome Greg Hill.
Buzz, great to see you.
Yeah, thanks for taking a walk.
I loved Larry Glick. I loved radio. I listened to WBCN. I was really into music. I was into the music that BCN played, not necessarily into the music that AAF played at the time. We had a room off my house in Stowe where I grew up, which was like an old garage room, essentially. And I went out, I had paper route. I went out and saved all my paper route money, bought myself 2 turntables. And I would go out and buy, I went to the Woolworths, which was in Maynard, every week, and bought the top 20 45s, the songs that were popular. And I would go every day after school and legitimately do a radio show in that room, which no one was listening to. And it was a great place to make mistakes, figure out kind of what my, like, you know, what my style was going to be when nobody was listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, at times during my career, there were only 2 or 3 more people listening than were listening in the garage. So
the one, the only.
Matt Siegel.
Charles Laquadera. So do you remember the first time that you interviewed for a radio job? And where was that?
I never interviewed for a radio job.
Never?
No, I don't think so.
Like when you got your first job, you didn't have to interview?
No, my buddy owned a theater in Hollywood. And he was he had a part-time job as a disc jockey at KPPC in Pasadena, California. And this was, we were in Hollywood. And he said, hey, Charles, do you want to come into the station with me? And I was doing some work with, I was writing a play at the time. I said, oh, no, Dave, I'm really... He said, come on, take a break. Come on with me. So I went into the station with him. He was playing jazz. I was watching him, and he had me sit in the, at the console with him and do that stuff. And he said, by the way, he said, they're looking for somebody to do a classical music piece called the Sunday Night Opera of the Year. Do you know anything about opera? And I said, yeah. I said, I like classical music. I said, I don't know, you know, that much about it. But he said, anyway, you know, should just brush up on your opera and I'll tell him I've got somebody to do the thing. So I just went in and one night and the engineer showed me how to work the pots, I think they call them, the sliders, whatever they, those were. And then I got a write-up in the Pasadena Star News by their music critic. He says something like, I still have a copy of it, something like, you know, in this world of classical music, when the announcers are so proper, along comes an aspiring actor named Charles Laquadera, who talks like somebody you'd know on the street, somebody who, finally, we have an ordinary human being, you know, one of us. Anyway, he gave me a great write-up, and so there was that. And then the station I was working at changed from classical to rock and roll. That was when the underground stations took over all the classical stations.
Yep.
Like up in San Francisco, in LA, in Boston. So here I was now, the station that I was working for was a classical station, changed to a rock and roll station, and they kept me on because it was, you know, I was cheap labor. I was $2 an hour. So I would, and I didn't know that much about rock and roll. I didn't know that much about classical music. I was trying to be an actor. So I just mixed it up together, you know, mixed up. I'd play Rachmaninoff and just, you know, follow that with the Beatles or something like that. And then anyway, when I came from California, I came back here to my home in Milford to take a few weeks break. And I heard this station called WBCN, and I called them up and I said, hey, you guys are great. What's going on? And he said, oh, well, you know, and he asked me who I was, and I said, Charles, oh, you're the crazy bastard that plays rock and roll and classical music. He said, come on into the station. And BCN was looking for somebody because Peter Wolf was their, I guess, mid-morning DJ or night DJ, and he was leaving, and they needed somebody to replace him. So I lucked out, and I got a job.
I'm Richie Balzbach. I started Kiss 108 in Boston in 1978. The founder of Pyramid Radio. I've been in the radio business, or was in the radio business, for a long time. I wanted Luther Vandross more than anything for the Kiss concert. So I meet Luther, and Luther's got, right away, he's got such attitude. So I said, Luther, look, what would it take for you to play the Kiss concert? And he said, I'll play the Kiss concert if you get the Boston Pops to be my backup band. I went in the lobby and I called Keith Lockhart, and he goes, when is the date of it? And I tell him, he goes, well, we'll do that. So I walk back to Luther with the phone, and I hand him the phone. It's Keith Lockhart saying that they'll play the Kiss concert. Luther could not get out of it.
Taking a Walk with Buzz Knight is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.